Our gospel reading is found in Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 13 through 16. And this is Jesus as sort of the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and minds today. This morning, as we sort of finish the whole book of Daniel and the series on Daniel, I want to think about being difference makers in our world. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. There was a woman who died and went to heaven, and there she saw St. Peter standing at the gate. And so she went up to St. Peter and she said, "You mean I made it to heaven?" And St. Peter said, "Well, not yet. First you have to spell a word correctly." And she said, "Oh, well, what word?" And St. Peter said, "Love." And she said, "Oh, that's easy, L-O-V-E. And St. Peter said, "Great, you made it, go on in." Then St. Peter turned to her and said, "Well, listen, I have to go away from the gate for a few moments. I wonder, could you stand here and watch the gate for me?" And she said, "Well, what should I do?" And he said, "Well, just stand here, and when someone comes up to the gate, ask them to spell a word correctly, and if they do, let them on in." So she said, "Okay, very well, that's fine." And so St. Peter walked away for a little bit, and she's standing there, and after a few minutes, she sees her ex-husband coming walking up to her, and she said, "You mean you made it here?" And he said, "Well, I guess so. I just had a heart attack, and I guess I made it to heaven." She said, "Well, not yet, you didn't." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, you have to spell a word correctly." He said, "Okay, what word?" And she thought for a moment. She said, "Czechoslovakia." Just kidding. You know, sometimes people can make a big difference in our world, one person. Hopefully it's for something good, not for something not so good. And the question for all of us is, are we difference makers in our world? And I was watching some of the football highlights. Sometimes there's just one person who stands out in a game. It really is about teamwork. But sometimes someone just goes above and beyond, and they just sort of lift the whole team to a new level of play by going all out. And sometimes they even get injured on that. And after the injury, it's as if the team sort of has that momentum and a willingness to work together that really makes a difference in the world. And so I want to think about this morning as we finish up the book of Daniel about how you and I can be difference makers, because when you look at Daniel's life and you look at the book of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made a tremendous impact on the world. And you would think when you first looked at them that there was no way that they were going to have an impact on a huge kingdom. And it was a time when Israel was conquered, the temple was destroyed, they were captured people, they were just young men at the time they were taken away to the city of Babylon. So they're in a foreign country, foreign king in power, and yet they made an incredible impact, not just on Babylon, but it ended up being on the kingdom of Persia too, as Darius the Great took over. And so I was thinking about what are some of the characteristics that really make for being a difference maker, and I really think that there's at least three that you think about, which is integrity, prayer, and trust. Integrity, prayer, and trust. And the first thing is, as you think about those words of the angel, as Arden read that from Daniel chapter 12, and it's kind of difficult to hear that, because in some ways it talks about the end of time and it's kind of confusing. And I think the important thing to realize is when two and a half times whatever, you know that we probably just, it's going to be a long time and we're not going to know when the end of time is. So with that in mind, the important thing is to focus on what we can control, which is making a difference in our world. And the angel says this. He said, "In that time, Michael, the great prince, protects you and your people." And he says, "There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life and others to everlasting contempt." And so there's going to be a time of judgment towards good and towards not good. But here's the focus of what he says. "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And so the question to us is, Are we lights in our world? Are we making a difference? And Jesus echoes that same thing when he says, you know, you are the salt of the earth. But the salt loses its saltiness. How will it become salty again? And he said, you are the light of the world. A light cannot be hidden, but it needs to be up on a stand so it shines light to everyone. And that's the way that we're supposed to be in our world today. And I think that's the way that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were in their life. And you think about, as we went through the course of time, how that Daniel had many trials and temptations, and many times people tried to look at Daniel's life, particularly when after Darius the Great came through and conquered the kingdom of Babylon, Daniel was promoted to one of the top three slots in the first really world empire that we believe that stretched all the way from Africa to India and parts north of there, and as far excluding the eastern world, the oriental world, was the largest kingdom of that time. And the other people were jealous of Daniel's authority. And so they tried to find something wrong with either one, the way he did his job, or the integrity. And they looked as hard as they could, and they couldn't find anything wrong with his integrity or his character, his sort of work ethic. And what a difference that was. In fact, they had to plot, obviously, to have him thrown into the lion's den because they knew that he prayed. But if you think about it, honor and honesty have the same root word. And sometimes we're looking for honor, we're looking for a shortcut, but the fact of the matter is you can't shortcut honesty and integrity. And that means that we do our best on the job, whether we're in charge or not in charge, whether others are looking, whether others aren't looking, we do the best that we can, and we do it as unto the Lord. Because when we do that, God is honored in that. And sometimes we're given a place of honor in this place in life, and sometimes that place and honor might be another place in life. But the fact of the matter is that whether we do or don't get a place of honor, that others are looking at our life. And we might be the only gospel message that people see. If people can see Christ in our life and the way that we do our work and every day, sometimes we think about being in church or singing or reading the Bible, but the fact of the matter is the way we work, the way we go about our life, preaches a message that is the only message of the gospel that some people hear. And so when we have that kind of integrity, we can make an impact on our world. And you think about how Daniel, even though he was threatened with being thrown into the lion's den if he prayed, went and didn't pray secretly, but opened the windows to his home and prayed as he always did three times a day. And he trusted God to deliver him, and God did. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, not just about being a person of faith, but trying to be a man or woman of faith that really does everything to the highest level to honor God. He says this, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for not noble purposes. If a person cleanses themselves from the latter, he or she will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And he goes on to say, flee the desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call unto the Lord with a pure heart. In other words, what do we do that really reflects God's will in our life? There's a point in life where I have a pilot's license. I don't get to fly very often, but I'm envious of all those who do. But I've always admired Learjet, so I've never got a chance to fly in one. But one of my sort of heroes is Bill Lear, who really was the founder, the engineer behind the Learjets. And when he decided to build that company, it was back in the 1950s. He saw some potential, and so he went and took a lot of time. In 1964, his dream became reality, and he built his first jet, and the business started to boom right away. And there was 55 jets that were in the air, that were flying in different places, and all of a sudden, there were two fatal accidents that happened mid-air that killed the pilots and everyone's in them. And so he didn't know what to do, and there was an idea there was something might be wrong with the planes. It was still early in design, early in sort of the life of those jets. And so he decided to look very closely at how the jets were flying, and he wasn't sure if what they thought was the problem was really the problem. So he decided the only way to really know if it was the case was for he himself to go up and fly the jet so he wouldn't put anyone else's life at risk and try to put those planes into the exact configuration that caused the accidents before. And so he did exactly that. He took off from the jets, he put the jet into the configuration, He almost crashed as the same problem occurred, and so he made it safely to the ground. He decided to ground all the jets at his own cost and even perhaps the risk of his business, made sure that the problem was fixed, and it took him 2 years in order to fix that problem, and only then did he have to rebuild the company. It came back very slowly, but he was willing to risk everything to make sure that he had a life of integrity and everything was safe and sound. And so you and I, sometimes people might not know what we're doing behind closed doors or if someone's looking, but if we live lives of integrity like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think we can make a difference in our world. And the second thing is prayer. And we think about sometimes in life as we face challenges and adversities and we just don't feel like we have the power to overcome that. And you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they face the fiery furnace and Daniel, as he faced the den of lions, in all of those times, they found power in prayer. And it isn't necessarily how eloquent or long the prayer is. It's just praying before God and trusting God's power, not our power. And when they did, Daniel found that he had power to face a den of lions, and God shut the mouths of the lions, and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found that in the fiery furnace that God was present with them there and delivered them from that. And Daniel had the courage to stand up before the king and say that God would interpret the dream and gave the king some difficult words from God. Paul says this. He says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Just sort of powerful image from Paul that our prayers are powerful. They're not weak, but sometimes we think about prayer and we think of, well, it's just if you can't do anything else. But the fact of the matter isn't the last thing. It often needs to be the first thing in our life. And if we do that, we could be difference makers in our world. And the last thing is just trusting God. You and I don't know what we'll face in life, and sometimes it's a big thing, and sometimes it's a small thing. One time there was two men that were being chased by a bear, and one turned to the other one and ran and said, let's stop and say a quick prayer. And the other replied, let's pray while we run. We need to do something while we pray. And I think that prayer isn't just something we do at night before bed, but something that we can do while we're out in the field doing whatever it is we're doing, whether it's on a tractor or whether it's in a truck, whether it's in school studying, whatever we're doing, we doesn't stop the action. It just sort of gives us strength and power. And so think about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you think about the faith that they had as they faced the den of lions. You think about the faith they had as they faced the fiery furnace. And Daniel's influence in the kingdom of Babylon lasted for probably three generations of kings. And then Darius the Great or Cyrus came through and conquered the kingdom. And then Daniel had an impact in Persia. We think that Daniel lived close to 100 years. And during that time, he started probably as a teenager. He impacted more lives probably than anyone else other than the king. And because of his impact, it may have been even the sort of the spark that caused the magi from the east to come and worship Christ, because somehow people from the far east had found out about the promise of a Messiah and the sign of a star to come, and they were willing to come and travel all that distance. We know that Daniel had an impact on Darius the Great and made an edict through all the way from Africa to India and north of there. And you and I might not have the opportunity to maybe have that kind of impact. We might not be able to change the whole world, but you and I can change our world. We can change the field of play, whether that's at school or whether it's the farm or the business or the factory or our home, wherever we are. We have the opportunity to be difference makers. If we'll do exactly the things that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did, which was to trust God and to pray and to have that kind of integrity. And so really a challenge for all of us today to not think of these as stories that are just for kids or just action or just from times of old, but times that today make a difference in our life and that we can really be stars that shine in darkness as the angel sort of commissioned Daniel. And I'd like to hear again these words from Jesus when he said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's all try to be difference makers in our world. It doesn't matter whether we're in the country or city, where we're young or old, anywhere in between. God has given us a sphere, a world, a playing field where we can make a difference if we'll trust in God and pray and live lives of integrity. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're thankful for the opportunity to come before you this day, to hear from your word and to be empowered by your word and your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take seriously the commission that you've given each and every one of us in our world, in our field of play. Help us to have faith in you and to trust you and to be empowered by prayer. And in so doing, that others may see your life in ours, your love reflected in everything we do. We pray this through your power and to your glory. Amen.